From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Americans are in debt, a lot of debt, and a lot of our fellow Americans do not have enough money to pay it off. So every day, the businesses and organizations that are owed money decide to cut their losses and sell their debt to a collector, often for pennies on the dollar. The collector then begins hounding the debtor to help them make good on the investment. Several years ago, the Urban Institute estimated 71 million adults had debt in collections listed on their credit reports. But imagine a different scenario. Someone buys the debt, and instead of hounding the person to pay it off, they say, "No worries, we're good, all is forgiven." It's like finding out the person ahead of you in line at the coffee shop paid for your morning brew, but instead of a few dollars, it's worth thousands. And this is the concept behind the charity RIP Medical Debt. Here in Illinois, the group has partnered with churches in dozens of downstate counties. Joining us to talk more about this is Allison Sesso, the president and CEO of RIP Medical Debt. Allison, welcome to the 21st Show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Also here is the Reverend Brian Hastings, pastor of the First Baptist Church in Bloomington, Illinois. Pastor, I understand you prefer to be addressed as Brian, and as longtime listeners know, I always like having other Brians on the show. So, Brian, welcome.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
And Sonny Patterson is also with us, a medical bill navigator with the company Medical Bill and Claim Resolution. Sonny, welcome to you as well.
Thank you so much for having me.
And listeners, you can join our conversation. Have you struggled with medical debt? I know it can be a difficult subject to talk about, but if you are willing, we would certainly appreciate hearing from you at 800-222-9455. Or maybe you've been on the other side. Maybe you're a medical provider who has seen patients or clients struggle with medical debt. Again, 800-222-9455 is the number to call. 800-222-9455. So, Allison Sesso, I'm going to begin with you. Tell us just a little bit more about what RIP Medical Debt does.
Sure. We are a nonprofit charitable 501c3 that is national, and we've abolished debt in all 50 states. We are getting closer to abolishing the $10 billion of debt across the country, which is pretty incredible. And we do that by leveraging the market for debt that is very cheap, as you pointed out at the outset. What we do is we take donated dollars and we buy large portfolios of debt, bad debt, similar to the way that a for-profit debt buyer would do that, except we don't need to make a return on that investment. We do it for a charitable purpose. And once we get our hands on that debt, we identify all of the people that are 400% of poverty or below, or have a debt that's 5% or more of their income. And we notify those individuals by mail that they are free and clear of those debts. There's no way to apply for what we do, and there's no way to see it coming. So until you get that letter and find out that that debt's been alleviated, it's like, you know, winning the lotto without actually ever applying or buying a ticket.
Yeah, I'm thinking of the old Ed McMahon commercials where he shows up with a giant check at your house. But I want to come back to that later because I am curious about what kind of reception you get from that. But say more about actually acquiring the debt. That doesn't seem like something, I mean, I can't just go run down to my corner convenience store and buy some debt. How does that actually work?
Yeah, so, you know, we do have experts on our team that come from the industry. The lead of our debt acquisition efforts was actually in revenue cycle at major hospitals herself. So she knows and understands how hospitals think and what their, what the regulations that they abide by, what they need, and how to speak their language, if you will. So she has conversations with hospitals across the country and talks to them about our model. And that encourages them, you know, to do this, not for the financing, but really because it's the right thing to do for the community. I mean, what we're seeing is medical debt is really eroding the public's relationship with the hospital system and the healthcare system, because they have this negative feeling that's associated with this hounding and this money that they're having to go after them. And so, you know, what we do is we really put it in a positive light that, you know, medical debt, unfortunately, is a part of the system. It's an expectation that is put on people. It's an unrealistic expectation given people's means. And by doing this, hospitals and engaging with us, not only can they get a little bit of money relative to the debt amount, but they're doing something right by the community and demonstrating that they are caring and understand that people will not come back and get the care that they need if they feel like there's this debt holding over their head, and that there's a mental health strain on the individuals, which undermines their health as well. So that's the way we approach hospitals, and we've been pretty successful. Over the last 2 years or so, you know, we've talked to hundreds of hospitals across the country, and we've abolished it with many of them.
All right, Pastor Brian Hastings of First Baptist Church in Bloomington, I want to bring you into the conversation now. What motivated you to get involved with this project?
Yeah, first it was just hearing about it. Back in March, there was a story about the Trinity Moravian Church in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. It made national news, and it came across my phone's news feed. And, you know, to be honest, I saw the headline, but I didn't have time, didn't click on the story, but it just registered in the back of my mind. And then a few weeks later, I was having a conversation with someone who had actually just visited our church for the first time. We were kind of talking after the service and talking about what church ought to be, what we should be doing and living out our faith. And this person mentioned that story and said, you know, I think that's what church should be about. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. That is a part of how we express and live out our faith. And after that conversation, I went back and I like, well, you know, what was this story all about? I need to read up on this. And I read and I saw the background. And to be honest, it almost sounded too good to be true. You know, how could they do this? But then as I read the details, as I looked up RIP medical debt and researched them a little bit, I thought, this is amazing. And, you know, what's possible here? There was this sense that this is something really worth getting involved in, that there's great potential here. And I looked up, you know, oh, is there anything going on for Illinois? And that's where I encountered what MBCR is doing already, that they had a pre-existing campaign and that they were working hard on this. And, you know, we're from McLean County, and that was one of the counties that wasn't initially included in the scope of that. And so RIP Medical Debt was amazing, and SUNY has been amazing in just kind of connecting and asking some questions, going, hey, could we partner? Is there a way that if the Bloomington Normal Faith community got invested in this, were able to be a part of this, could we work together? And they've been tremendous. And that's what we've been able to do moving forward from here. And from that, not only our church was able to make a commitment to this, we've got now five other faith communities who are going to be partnering in some way. And we expect that may grow in the next month, you know, working together on sharing in this campaign to relieve medical debt throughout Central Illinois.
All right, SUNY, your organization's name came up, MBCR, Medical Bill and Claim Resolution. I'm sorry, SUNY Patterson. Tell us, how did you get involved in this work?
Yeah, so thanks again for having me, Brian. That's a great question. There were two events that started our interest in RIP medical debt. And the first was a recent call that I received from a parent. She was a working professional, employed full-time, and she had received a notice from a bill collector. It was about $900, and it was for medical services that her child had incurred about 2 years ago. And, you know, for the life of her, she couldn't remember what it was for. Why was she just being contacted now? And what about the insurance? Why didn't the insurance pay for it? So I responded to her questions, and then there was complete silence. She broke down. She shared her story or her situation. And she said, I have so many medical bills. I'm employed full time. I can't pay these bills. And I'm going through a divorce, and I'm seriously contemplating bankruptcy. So the other event that happened was much like Brian. I read a national news story about local governments partnering with an organization called RIP medical debt. I'm thinking, what is this? You know, this sounds phenomenal. How does it work? So the particular local government was Cook County, and I just learned that they have wiped out almost $80 million in debt, and that has positively affected about 73,000 residents. So immediately in my mind, I'm asking, how can we get involved? How can we take action? So I did a little research, you know, online, and then I contacted Rest in Peace. And initially, I wanted to do a campaign for Vermilion County. Because of certain baselines that Rest in Peace has, they did not have access to enough debt at that time to just center in on Vermilion County. So what we ended up doing is extending the campaign to in central Illinois, which is inclusive of 44 counties.
So how does someone, I think a lot of people go to hospitals, Sunny, expecting their insurance to cover most of their expenses, obviously for people with insurance. But even in that case, a lot of people end up owing thousands and thousands of dollars. How does that happen?
That is a very good question. And some of it stems from the lack of understanding how their insurance policy works if they are insured. Many, many, many of the policies that are purchased have very high deductibles and or out-of-pocket costs. And I hear this all the time. Well, my insurance should have taken care of it. The question is, what is your insurance plan? What is your deductible? What is your out-of-pocket? Other things that may occur are denials or, you know, due to the service wasn't being pre-authorized, things of that nature, or the service simply just wasn't covered and they didn't know.
Allison, let me take a moment actually to remind listeners, this is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking about the work of a group called RIP Medical Debt. We're speaking with the president and CEO, Allison Sesso. Also, Sunny Patterson, who is a medical bill navigator with Medical Bill and Claim Resolution, a company that helps people deal with medical debt, as well as Brian Hastings, who is the pastor of the First Baptist Church in Bloomington, Illinois, which is one of the local organizations that partners with the national RIP medical debt. Allison, say more, and I should say we need to take a break in about 3 minutes here, but say more about determining who gets help and how you make those choices. You mentioned 400% of the poverty line. What exactly does that mean in real dollars terms?
Yeah, so basically what we do is we look at it's federal poverty line is a number that is established by the federal government, and it's an old standard, and that's why it's not the poverty line itself, but 400 times that. So the reason why we do that is because that's where people are most struggling. Anything below that level at poverty is just too low of a level. And the reality is for medical debt, it's exactly what Sunny was talking about. A lot of people who are middle income are trying to pay their medical bills, but they're unable to because they're underinsured. And that's what we're seeing in terms of this medical debt problem overall, is that people who are middle income are not that's the thing that's going to tip them over the line, which is why it's the number one cause of bankruptcy in the United States, and why it really is a aggravator for so many families. They're not eligible for, say, Medicaid, but they can't quite grasp the more expensive insurance that would cover them better. And it's not because, you know, that insurance is actually out of reach, because the premiums, the initial cost to have that, are too high for them to really make it affordable and make it work within their budgets. So that is why we actually used to be at 200% of poverty, but we raised it up because we felt that those are the individuals that are struggling the most to make ends meet. And this is that additional bill and the thing that's least in their control. I think that's an important element of medical debt and why it's different than other kinds of debt. It's because it is something that you can get insurance, but it's hard to get good insurance increasingly that you can afford. And it's something that you go, you know, you can't help it if you get sick. You can try, you know, but accidents happen. You know, you have in your DNA, there might be issues that you can't avoid, the fact that you got cancer or any other kind of thing could happen to you. And you need to go to the hospital or you need to go to a provider of some kind of healthcare. And, you know, you end up having to pay for that out of your pocket, even if you have insurance. Because as Sunny said, there's deductibles that tend to be $5,000 or thousands of dollars. A lot of the debts we relieve, they're not hundreds of thousands of dollars. They're often $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 bills that just don't fit within the middle income to lower income households' budgets. And that's what we're really focused on.
The month-to-month budgets. 400% of the poverty level for a family of four is $111,000. For an individual, $54,000. It's based on the 2022 numbers. We're going to take a break. We're going to continue our conversation with Allison Sesso, the CEO of RIP Medical Debt, Reverend Brian Hastings of First Baptist Church in Bloomington, and Sunny Patterson, a medical bill navigator in Central Illinois. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us. This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're going to continue our conversation on medical debt in just a moment. I do want to mention that this morning, Tuesday morning, as we're going to air, the Illinois Supreme Court has upheld the state law ending that ends cash bail in Illinois. Defendants can still be held before trial if a judge thinks they're dangerous, but lower level individuals who've been accused of wrongdoing will not be jailed just for a lack of cash. We're going to be talking about this tomorrow, Wednesday, on the program, and we want to know what you think about this decision. You can leave us a voicemail at 217-321-21. Did the justices make the right call? What do you think will be the long-term consequences of this change? And is it a net positive or a net negative for justice in Illinois? 217-321-21 is the number for our voicemail line. You can also email us and find all the ways to get in touch at our website, 21stshow.org. And again, we'll be talking about the Supreme Court's decision on the end of cash bail in Illinois, upholding that law. That'll be tomorrow on the 21st Show. Today, we are talking about medical debt, and specifically the charity RIP Medical Debt, which is a national organization. It partners with local groups to essentially wipe out medical debt. They buy debt from hospitals and other medical providers for sometimes pennies on the dollar. And instead of doing what a collection agency might do with that debt, which is hounding someone to pay up, they instead wipe it away. As we heard from Allison Sesso, the CEO of this organization, you can't apply. You just have to, you know, hope, and then they make the choice, and you'll get a letter in the mail, and people will find out that they have been selected, and that's that. We're also talking about this with Sunny Patterson, who helped bring the program to Illinois. She is a medical bill navigator with Medical Bill and Claim Resolution, a company that helps people deal with medical debt. And we're also talking with Brian Hastings, pastor at the First Baptist Church in Bloomington, who has been involved in this process. Allison, I did want to ask you about that skeptical reaction you might get sometimes. I got to imagine that people think it certainly sounds too good to be true. I think we've heard everybody on the panel say some version of that today. What reactions do you all get?
Yeah, we're pretty accustomed to having to demonstrate that we're not a scam, that we're a real thing. And I think we do that effectively, first of all, by having so much experience under our belt. I mean, we've worked with 780 faith-based groups since 2014. So we have plenty of references for people to check with. I think it's just unbelievable to people, the concept that you can buy debt for so cheap, and it seems a little ridiculous and unfair. And I understand that. I think that that's real. And I think that that just goes to the fact that, you know, everything is a commodity in the United States, including debt. I mean, this is not unique to medical debt. All kinds of debts are bought and sold and traded, and people make money off of people's debts, which is a whole other conversation about whether or not that's okay and if that's appropriate. But that is the reality. And I think that our model is really taking advantage of that and turning that market on its head and taking advantage of it to provide debt relief for people, which I think is a wonderful outcome at the end of the day. You know, we're doing what we can with the realities that we're working with, understanding at the same time that the reality should change. And I will say, when people get these letters, like, our biggest hurdle is making sure people believe them. But one of the biggest reactions is people get a letter, you know, they read it, they don't believe it, right? They don't want to be scammed. They don't want to feel relief or be taken advantage of. But then when they look us up and find out it's real, quickly the tears begin to come because the sense of relief is just palpable for them. And even if it's not all of their debts, which it's often not, it's usually, you know, one or more of their debts that we're relieving that they have. It is a sense of relief and that somebody's actually caring for them and that it's a stranger. It's like an act of kindness that they didn't ask for and that the person doesn't even know you. I mean, it's just an act of kindness. And I think that's far and few between in this world. And I also think that's why it's so attractive to so many religious congregations, because it really aligns with their values.
Well, let's talk about that, Brian. Different religious traditions and institutions put different levels of emphasis on charity. Can you just talk about, in the context of your faith, the idea of freedom from debt?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think, as Allison said, I mean, you know, this is a value that I think is shared by people of, you know, so many different faith traditions and people who may not have any particular faith tradition, but just understand this is an important piece. But I would say for us, you know, one of the pieces of this that just really resonates is this idea of releasing people from the things that chain us. Working for the freedom of human beings is part of what we understand we're meant to be about as followers of Christ. So spiritually, for sure, but also in the different dimensions of our physical lives. I mean, you know, Jesus taught his followers in what we call the Lord's Prayer, you know, in Matthew says, you know, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I mean, there's something not just spiritual about that, but spiritual in the sense of how it also applies to, you know, everyday life and our interactions with others and the realities that can bind us. And so it was just really exciting to see how this is something we can come together. You know, our church was excited to be a part of this and also equally excited to figure out how we can partner and invite other faith communities and people of good intent in the Bloomington Normal area to be a part of what SUNY has got us started in.
So I want to ask you about the idea that this sort of work, this sort of charity and your professional work has to exist in the first place. Just last month, the group Human Rights Watch had a report on ostensibly nonprofit hospitals chasing lower income people over debts. What does it say about our society that this sort of work has to exist in the first place?
It says that the system is broken. There is clearly a systemic healthcare system problem whereby, you know, there are many stakeholders that contribute to that, from the insurance plans who negotiate with the providers to the providers who set their rates. You know, you look around the country and the price for, say, an MRI is vastly different depending on the location that you are having the procedure. So there is not a uniform price code, if you will, or a uniform method of figuring out exactly what should be in place.
Allison, I want to ask you, one other thing that strikes me about this is that medical debt and the cost of healthcare and the fact of whether people are insured or not insured, or whether, you know, some people would say our medical insurance system is not even the right way to go, right? They would envision a more socialized system. What is it? It strikes me that this could be a Band-Aid on a bullet wound, right? We're treating the symptoms, not the disease. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, there's no question that the system is broken. I agree fully that there, and I think everyone sees it, by the way. I don't think hospitals realize it's broken. I mean, I think hospitals realize it's broken. Insurance companies realize it's broken. Obviously, patients realize it's broken. But fixing it, I think, is a politically difficult. And I think, you know, fixing a lot of the problems in the United States are politically difficult at this moment. And I think that this is just one of on that list. But unfortunately, what's happening is hospitals and insurance companies are in this tug of war, and patients end up in the middle of it. I find that this issue is one that we need to move forward on. I know that RIP is not the final answer to this. I would love to work our way out of business. You know, I think I'm pretty employable. I think my team is a great team, and they could find other jobs if we could solve this at a more fundamental, higher level. I'd be all for that. But in the meantime, you know, you say we're a Band-Aid, but, you know, we're an important Band-Aid to the problem, and it's what we can do now with what we have and the realities we're working in. At the same time, we are very intentional about lifting up this issue, and through the work, having this exact conversation that we're on the radio today, talking about this issue, the impact on people, it helps push momentum towards larger change and put pressure on those that have the ability to make bigger changes, be it the hospital systems themselves that can look at their financial assistance policies and the ways in which they approach collections, be it the insurance companies and the gaps in the coverage that they're providing, or the policymakers that can force some of these issues as well as provide different subsidies and a different approach to this. It's just really hard from getting from where we are today in this system that we've built to a totally different system. You know, you talked about a socialist kind of approach. One, I don't think our country, that's in our DNA, unfortunately, or fortunately, whatever, you know, in terms of this system. And so there are other ways of doing it. And we're really focused on how we can close up the holes in what we have today. But getting from here to a vastly different approach that, say, you know, Canada has would be very hard to accomplish. And it would take a lot politically that I just don't see happening in reality right now.
Let me take a moment to remind listeners, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. If you want to join our conversation today, the number is 800-222-9455. We have a little more than 6 minutes left with our guests as we are talking about the charity RIP Medical Debt, which partners with local faith organizations around the country, including here in Illinois and many counties in downstate Illinois, partly through the work of Pastor Brian Hastings of the First Baptist Church in Bloomington, and Sonny Patterson, who is a medical bill navigator with Medical Bill and Claim Resolution. We're also talking with Allison Sesso, the president and CEO of RIP Medical Debt. Again, 800-222-9455. So, Allison, you said people can't apply. It's kind of like a, I don't know, skull and bone secret society. You just have to be selected. How do you go about finding people, finding information on people's income once you have acquired, collections of debt?
So we do have to be careful. We are HIPAA compliant, right? So we do have to make sure this is medical information. You know, we don't get people's medical records or anything like that, but the fact that they got a service and obviously when and things like that, that falls under HIPAA laws. And so we have to make sure that we're abiding by that, which we absolutely do. But what we do is we basically do the same thing that hospitals do, which is buy data from FinThrive, which is actually, I think, located in Illinois. FinThrive is a formerly was part of TransUnion, and they are focused, the TransUnion, they're a healthcare, they were the healthcare division of TransUnion. And so we buy data from them that gives us people's income information, and we pair that with the files of debt that we obtain, which are huge, you know, from the hospitals. We actually created this proprietary debt engine, we call it, that puts those pieces of information together. And actually in the background, again, blind to who the individuals are other than that they happen to be in the files that we have access to, and that the that their income information is, you know, we pair that up and we just run an analysis that pulls out all the people that are eligible, and we set the price based on our proprietary pricing, which is based on the age of the debt. And that's how we pull people out. It's really pretty simple. And again, it's not that challenging for us. It's efficient and very focused on being blind to the individuals other than their income, which again, we get that information from FinThrive.
Brian, can you talk about raising money? How does that work from your perspective? What does it take to collect the money needed to help pay these bills?
Yeah, absolutely. So, once we were able to make contact with and partner with NBCR, You know, our church started out just by, we've got an amount that we're going to be just donating. But one of the things in trying to seek to partner with the broader faith community in Bloomington Normal is that we've been communicating with other church partners and faith community partners, just inviting them to participate in the campaign. So NBCR has put together a campaign that's a website that through RIP Medical Debt that kind of invites people to give online. You can go to the website right now and click donate, and you know they're donating towards a goal currently of $12,000, and we're just over halfway there. But what we're doing in Bloomington Normal is encouraging faith communities to, one, they can just encourage their parishioners to go to the website and donate, or you can give electronically, you can write a check to RIP Medical Debt, to this particular campaign. But for Bloomington Normal, we're also encouraging people to have, we're having what we call a debt jubilee. And jubilee is a pretty powerful concept for us theologically, of, you know, of freedom and being released from debts. So August 26th through the 27th, we're inviting partner congregations and anybody that wants to participate to take up a special offering where either individuals are encouraged individually to give, or whether churches give to this campaign, Wiping Out Medical Debt, Central Illinois and Statewide. So that's really what we're doing, is we're not trying to be the center of anything, but just encouraging people how to connect with this particular campaign and to connect with RIP Medical Debt and get involved. So we're really just trying to get the word out, make it easy for people to participate in this and have a great impact.
And Sonny, probably last word to you for people who may not be one of the lucky recipients of a letter from RIP Medical Debt. Your organization also works to help people. Just briefly, how does that work?
Yes, briefly, we provide information and educate consumers and provide tools so that they can confidently on their own resolve medical bill and insurance claim issues. However, if they are frustrated, if they're not seeing a push forward, then we certainly can help them with the case. Also, we would encourage that medical providers meet patients where they are in their financial journey, meaning, you know, express empathy, express kindness, and by all means, increase flexibility in payment arrangements to pay down that medical debt.
Sonny Patterson is a medical bill navigator with Medical Bill and Claim Resolution. We've also been speaking with Brian Hastings, pastor at the First Baptist Church in Bloomington, and Ellison Sesso, president and CEO of RIP Medical Debt. We'll have a link to their organizations at our website, 21stshow.org. Allison, Brian, Sonny, thank you so much for being with us today on the 21st Show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up in just a moment, we're going to be digging into a new folk school. It's launching at Allerton. We'll be revisiting a conversation we had earlier about that, earlier this year about that. And tomorrow on the program, in addition to the Safety Act, we're also going to be talking about hazing. Of course, the scandal at Northwestern has put a new spotlight on this. I know this can be a sensitive topic, but if you would be willing to share an experience of hazing, we'd love to hear from you. So leave a voicemail at 217-300-2121. That's 217-300-2121. And then tune in tomorrow on the 21st Show. More to come after a short break.